Welcome back to another episode of Afternoon Delight. It's a dud.
It was a dud. Man, I'm feeling today, though. I got, look at this big old glass of sweet tea I got. I never drink sweet tea.
What does that mean?
It's loaded with caffeine. I mean, okay. I'm wired.
Okay, you're on the struggle bus is what you're saying.
No, I'm wired this afternoon. I've had three of these today.
Got it. It's Kyle Rush, Ben Taylor, and Ben, I did a show this morning and it was basically like a reaction show to Kevin Skarbinski's Auburn video talking about Camp Golish and Auburn expectations and, you know, so on and so forth. And the theme of his show was basically that, you know, Auburn was really, really close last year, you know, having, I think, 0-6 in one score games. And then in three of those games, they had the lead in the fourth quarter. And then the other three, I think they had the ball in the fourth quarter with a chance to go take the lead or tie. And they just went 0-6. Whereas, you know, back in 2012, going into 2013, there was no one, I don't think there was any one score games.
No.
We lost to Alabama and Georgia combined like 87-0. But then in 1 year, Auburn goes 6-1 in one score games. Mm-hmm. And I guess the whole theme was, is Auburn really that far away from being able to do, you know, what some Auburn teams like to do is when they have no expectations pop. And he made the point, he's like, you know, people say, who's the next Indiana? Well, Auburn was the OG of that. Auburn was the one that would come out of nowhere and do those things. But it raised a question in my mind, and I want to get your thoughts on this because it sort of falls along the same conversation. Who had it harder? Mm. Gus Malzahn taking over after 2012 or Alex Golish taking over after 2025? What was the worst or toughest situation?
So I'm going to say, I'm going to give you two answers to this question because
You are.
I knew he would appreciate this. He hates when I do this. And the reason I'm going to give you two answers, because I'm going to say that I'm going to give you the upfront answer, which is I think Gus taking over for the Chizik led team is the tougher one because he didn't have a transfer portal then. And so he had to get from the junior college ranks / secondary type deal. Cause everybody goes, oh, we got Nick Marshall. I was like, yes, that is true. You can do graduate transfers, but being able to bring a whole slew of folks from transfer portal gives you a little bit of an upper hand, I would think. However, my second part of the answer is I think they are so very similar though, when it comes to basically the temperature of the locker room. Everybody talks about how Chizik had lost the locker room, and I ain't so sure that Freeze didn't lose the locker room as well.
Yeah.
You know, one of the helpful hands in that was Durkin staying, and I think he kept it a little bit more together than what was kept together in the 12-13 transition. But harder-wise, I think it was what Gus did was tougher. However, there's so many similarities between the two that, yes, this could happen again for Auburn. And Auburn, now, you got a schedule out there that's probably a little bit harder.
Yeah. That was one of the things I was looking at. It's the even year.
Yeah.
So you got to play. That's what keeps that ceiling little bit tighter on this team is just how tough that schedule is to me. But anyway, keep going. I'm sorry.
And it remains to be seen, and I've talked good about them because I think they bring a lot to the locker room, including how Golish has handled things. But all the South Florida players, can they make that transition and that jump? You and I have talked about it. I think that they can because they've competed against Florida. They've competed against the Miamis of the world. So, I mean, I don't think they're going to walk into Mercedes-Benz Stadium to take on Baylor and just be shell-shocked. I think they're the moment's not too big for them. So the original answer to your question, I think it was tougher for what Gus did, but I think that there's some tough parts about what Alex Golish is having to do that Gus did not have to deal with. So it kind of it's almost like a hey, I can give you certain scenarios of why it was tougher for Gus, and then I can give you tougher scenarios of why it's tougher for Alex Golish. And I think one of the common themes is they both inherited a locker room that was almost in disarray. And so they're having to – Gus had to tighten it up, and Golish is really tightening it up with the way he's hands-on.
But, see, yes and no. Like, Gus obviously did, mm-hmm. but his locker room couldn't change. I mean, how many guys are left that Golish actually inherited that would still have those scar, still have that scar tissue? You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like, you added 50 new guys, and I would imagine 90% of the roster either, because a lot of people will come back and say, well, Auburn's coming out of the darkest history of their time. Of course, it's harder for a Golish. It's like, okay, but like, what are those years? What does 2023 have to do with 2026?
Yeah.
Especially when 90% of that roster either A, wasn't here for it, or mm-hmm. B, maybe only was here for 1 year of it. You know what I mean?
I think as far as that argument, when a fan makes that argument or even a media member makes that argument, the transfer portal ruined that. Like you can't go back. That's a fan scar. That's not a locker room scar.
Correct.
From 3 years ago.
Which means nothing. Fan scars mean nothing.
Right.
To what happens on the field.
Every fan that you hear say, well, I mean, you got all these years, we're only winning 5 ball games. I'm like, well, number one, you're not playing. The players are. Number two, 3 years ago, 95% of those guys are no longer with the program. So they're not, you can't say, oh, these guys, they're still trying to shake off. 3 years ago, how this all went down. I'm like, no, they're not. This is a whole new group of folks.
And I'll say this, Ben, almost 100% of the guys that got beat up and down the field, the worst Auburn football team I've ever seen in my lifetime, that almost all of those guys came back the next year and played for a national championship.
Well, they couldn't go anywhere else. They weren't going to get – there was no portal. They weren't going to get drafted because they sucked. So, it was – they didn't have a choice. They were stuck here. That's exactly. Why I say that. That's where I go into that. I think Gus had a tougher time because everything from changing the way the locker room felt to being handed a sow's ear and saying, here, fix it. And so
never heard that one, by the way.
I will turn that sow's ear into a silk purse. And so
what are you saying?
Sow's ear, a pig's ear.
A pig's ear, okay.
You've never heard the saying you can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear?
Have not.
Yeah.
I thought I've heard them all. That's a new one to me.
Well, I mean, you be careful, you won't be here. It'll last shorter than 2 foggy mornings.
Is that kind of like making chicken salad out of chicken? You know what? Is that kind of similar along?
Yes,
similar?
That's exactly what it is. You can't make chicken salad out of chicken crap. So same thing with you can't make a silk's purse out of a sow's ear.
A sow's ear. Okay, keep going. Sorry.
I can't believe you are from South Alabama and you haven't heard some of these.
I haven't heard that. I've heard most all of them. I've never heard that one.
Yeah. Well, I said like your wife, she dropped that 2 foggy mornings on us. I ain't never heard that one.
Yeah.
I've been around close to 50 years. And
she's got some good ones.
She said that, and I'm like, what? And so go back to the original, I'm going to go with Gus having a tougher time, but I still think it ain't no cakewalk for Alex Golish.
No, and I'm by no means saying it's easy.
Well, I didn't know if Scarbetti was saying that. I didn't know if he was.
No. The point he was making was, guys, Auburn's already done this. Auburn's already had this turnaround before. Like, we've seen it multiple times. And I think Auburn's in a better position right now to do something like that than they were back in 2013, going into 2013.
Yeah.
The more I think about it, let's talk our way through this. Okay. Let's start at quarterback. Okay. Now, this is what's hard for people. This is what's hard for people because they let the 2013 results kind of poison the well, so to speak, when it's talking about.
Oh, there's no doubt. I have a tendency to do that.
So let's talk about quarterback. Let's talk about quarterback. We all know how it played out with Nick Marshall, but if you were going into a season, would you want a guy coming off of a JUCO season, or would you want Byron Brown with his proven production in the AAC? When you're talking about, oh, the AAC translate, the Kansas JUCO system translated pretty well. Which one would you rather have
Take Byron Brown in a heartbeat.
Okay, now, I'd take
the guy that actually grew up playing quarterback.
That's a good one, too. Played college football at a high level at quarterback. So there you go, right there. Running back, I would say, is a wash. Trey Mason, remember, in 2012, Nick Saban got pissed off because
– he stays pissed off.
You remember this? In the Iron Bowl, they were beating us by a billion points. And late in the game, we kept the starters in to get Trey Mason just barely over 1,000 yards.
Yep.
There's a lot of similarities between that and like a Jeremiah Cobb, I think.
Yeah.
Now, because we didn't know what was going to happen in 2013. We didn't know he was going to go off like that, and that way that system was going to work. So, I mean, when you look at that 2012 season, he had – I'm sorry. Wait a minute. I thought he had a okay, that's kick and punt returns. Sorry, I'm on the wrong stat. Let me get the rushing. Hold on, I'll find it.
He's reading the wrong line.
College football reference is letting me down. Let's go. Trey Mason, college stats, ESPN.
That they won't let you down. Well, they will in baseball. I don't know about football. They will in baseball. They'll have a guy.
Okay, here we go.
I've made it. Points higher than what it's supposed to be.
He had 1,002 yards. And 8 touchdowns. Okay. That was in 2012. Okay. Would you have been that much more fired up to take him? Like, is that that much bigger of a win than Jeremiah Cobb?
No. And
not looking into the future, you're right.
Yeah. Not looking in the future. If you just eye test, if you stick them side by side with one another, who are you taking, Kyle?
Yeah. I mean,
like, don't look at any numbers, don't look at any history. These are your two starting running backs. Which one do you want? You get to pick. This is Madden. Your avatar sitting in front of you. Which one you take?
If I just got to pick it based off of the way they look, I'm taking Jeremiah Cobb.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So I think you're fine there. A lot of people point to the wide receivers, and they're like, Sammy Coates, man. What about Sammy Coates? Sammy Coates wasn't like a world beater in 2012. I remember his, I think he was a true freshman, was he not? One of his highlights in 2012, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't it like catching a Hail Mary pass at halftime?
Yeah.
To go up on like Louisiana Monroe.
Yes.
You can't look at the 2013 production when you're talking about this. You got to look at the 2012 production. So
now if I'm gonna also go, because are you compare him to Singleton? Is that who you're?
Yeah,
like I'll go with
Chaz or any.
Yeah, since I just made the comparison with, if you stand him side by side, Sammy was a freak even as a freshman. The way he looked, he just wasn't there receiver wise yet.
Sure,
you know what I mean. Like
I
mean, but that's still either a wash or maybe a slight edge to Sammy at the time if they're standing in front of me. I don't know. Singleton's he's bigger than I think people realize as well.
He's big, man. He's like 220. So, yeah, Sammy Coates, 2012, 6 catches for 114 yards, and like 50 of them came on one pass.
Yeah.
That would be your guy that would be end up being the number one guy going into 2013. Would you be more comfortable with that, or would you be more comfortable with Keyshawn Singleton's resume or Chaz Nimrod's resume?
Oh, I'd go with Chaz and Keyshawn in their resume, because that's the thing. Sammy looked like a freak, but if you looked at his numbers, like you just said, one of those catches was for 50 yards. He didn't have about 100 and something total.
Exactly. Offensive line, there could be a really good argument for the 2013 offensive line.
And
obviously, I don't know that Greg Robinson was on – high on draft boards yet. Mm-hmm. But obviously he was very talented. Reese Dismukes was obviously a Remington Award winner. What was the guy's Alex Kozan? What was really good. I think Avery Young was on that offensive line potentially. There was Mike, was it Mike Berry? I think was one of those offensive linemen. The thing is that Lee Ziemba, no, Lee Ziemba was 2010. It was Greg Robinson was a left tackle.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, I love Reese. And I love all those guys. And Reese was, again, he was the best center in college football that year. But, like, none of those guys really were, other than Greg Robinson, were, like, NFL, like.
No, they weren't NFL high on prospect. Draft boards. No, they – I mean, I think Avery went to the next level. Reese went
I don't think he got drafted, though.
No, I don't think so. He had a little bit of a role. I remember that because he had that cool story that went along with him. Reese went to the next level. I don't know where he got drafted.
He didn't get drafted.
Oh, he did not?
No, he went to the Panthers for a little while.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, I thought he went like late. Greg Robinson was the only one that I still make the case that line, Hugh probably inherited a better line than what Golish has in front of him right now. But
Gus inherited.
I mean, yeah. Who does that?
Sure. He didn't have to rebuild it.
Right. He didn't have. Yeah.
But I don't know that. I don't.
This one's being pieced together right now.
Yeah, but I don't know that it's like just like going into the season. Again, you can't look at the results. Just going into the season, I don't know that it would be on paper like there's this remarkably better situation than what Golish has. And then we know the defense. Like, you're not going to – you can't say Gus had it better on defense than what Golish is getting with, you know, Durkin and all the stability on that side. So, I mean, you can go position by position. I just think that Auburn has done better in worse situations.
Yes.
Than – what Auburn potentially has to deal with this year. Now, the schedule for Golish is way tougher than it was for Gus. So that's definitely part of the conversation. But I think Auburn still had to go to Death Valley that year and lost.
Mm-hmm.
Who were some other folks on that schedule?
Oh gosh.
Well,
and you can't. I mean.
He opened with Washington State. So Washington State and Baylor are probably pretty similar. You had Mississippi State at home. You had to go to LSU. You had to go to Texas A&M. That was a really tough game that they won. Had to go to Tennessee, to Arkansas. So
that was when Arkansas actually played football.
Yeah. You did play all your tough games at home, though. So that is a big – most all your tough games other than
– Yeah.
I was like, and
don't get me wrong, it is. Oh, I'm going to get crucified in the comments on this. The Prairie and Jordan Hare is fun to, and Jordan Hare is fun to talk about, but that's exactly what it was a prayer that was thrown up. And
Aaron Murray did not get score, though. He did not get in.
I completely agree. So I guess that kind of washed its way
ball
out.
Don't lie. That's what you call ball don't lie.
That was one of those situations where, like, they watch the, you know, you look at the replay and you're like, I can't believe they did that. Like, it's clear. He didn't score, even though he still says he did, even on broadcast, which I would too if I was him. So I can't get too mad at him for that. But it's interesting to think because I think the biggest thing, because there are a lot of people, and I love Nick Marshall. I loved watching him. I thought he was great. I thought it was so fun to see him in the open field.
He's top three Auburn quarterback.
But I still think going into the season, like you just said, with the experience, with the numbers, if you had to say, give me one or the other, take the previous years away.
Yeah.
Take all that away. Give me Byron Brown or give me Nick Marshall. Based on resume alone, I'm going to go Byron Brown.
Yep.
And so
10 times out of 10.
And there, I honestly think there are going to be a lot of people disagree with that. Just from there are some people that, you know.
Well, if you do disagree with it, then you're just not doing the exercise correctly. you're purposely not doing the exercise.
You're letting feelings get in the way of facts, is what
exactly,
you're doing.
Exactly. You're skipping ahead.
Yeah.
You know, you're reading the spoilers and then forming your opinion based off the spoilers, and that's not what we're talking about.
You've already read that Nick Marshall took us to a national championship game instead of looking at what he did in Kansas. at a junior college. So,
right.
You're going the wrong direction as far as that is concerned. But it is fun to think about because, you know, like you said, Scar mentioned the Indiana thing. I agree. I mean, in this day and age in transfer portal world, I think that you can have a bounce back year. I don't think it has to be a building process of let's get 7 games this year, let's get 8 next year, let's get 9 the next year, and then if we can get to where we're averaging 9, we'll be back on par with what we like and what we're comfortable with. I don't think you have to settle for that. I think you can go out and you can piece something together, and if you've got the right, here's Golish's word, standards in place, you can actually make a turnaround rather quickly. And just go back to the previous pods, Kyle, that we did where we did the exercise of you just look at Auburn versus the schedule in front of them and the quarterback situation, or then you look at the defensive situation where we've done that during quote-unquote talking season. There's an opportunity for Auburn to win some ball games that they're right now not supposed to win.
Yep.
Now, if they go up there and they throw up gaudy numbers in those first 3 games, then they'll be put on notice, and then Vegas is going to adjust some lines more than likely. But you get through Florida and Tennessee with a win and do so on the road in Tennessee, and maybe not necessarily convincingly, but you win by a touchdown or more, 10 points, I guarantee you the country will start focusing on Alex Golish and the Auburn Tigers after that.
No doubt. You just got to figure out how to win close games again. Think you're going to be in a bunch of them this year. You're going to be, you got 9 SEC games. You're not going to overwhelm anybody with talent.
No,
but I don't think there's many teams that are just going to overwhelm teams with talent. So you got to figure out how to turn 0-6 into, you know, 3-3 or 4-2 or something like that when it comes to one score games. And that's another thing. You're coming off a year where, yeah, you did have 7 losses, but I think 6 of them were one score. Okay, yeah. What about the year? What about 2012? You're coming off a year where you were embarrassed.
Oh my God.
Week in, week out. Absolutely obliterated. 87-0 combined score between Alabama and Georgia. Johnny Manziel had 8 billion yards of offense and scored like 6 straight touchdowns or something.
It was six straight possessions,
I believe. He scored a touchdown. So you're talking about being the most uncompetitive team ever. You turned around and then you became you're 13 seconds away, man, from a national title.
And it's still frustrating.
Why can't they do it again?
Why, you know, I will, you mentioned something just a minute ago and I'll continue off that exercise. You said something that I think people need to come accustomed to in college football, where you said you're not going to overwhelm or nobody's going to overwhelm anybody with talent. Mm-hmm. I think in this day and age of the portal, I think it's going to be that way nationwide. I think that anybody at any given point is going to be given an opportunity to make a run at a national championship. Because now I understand some NILs are going to be bigger and better. Like Texas may get a player or two that you can't get, or Texas A&M may be able to do that, or Tennessee or Ohio State or Michigan with their $10 million quarterback. But at the end of the day, the days of having 11 – the days of having what is it that Tao said that he saw guys like almost crying when they saw Alabama walk out of the locker room. I don't think that that's going to show up anymore in college football. I don't think that the locker room experience when somebody walks out there, the other team just gets fearful of them, because I think the talent will be pretty even on both sides of the field. So I say that because I think people need to realize that it's a different world of football now. So you, at any given year, you can do the why not us.
Yep, I agree. I think Auburn's in a good spot. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Doesn't mean it's a guarantee. I like what they got going on. I like a little bit of the mojo, I guess.
It is. And I told you, if you play disciplined football, think about how many games that were close last year if we just hadn't have jumped or committed a holding penalty on 3rd and 2 that put us at 3rd and 12 instead, and then we were just inept and forgot how to play offense. So exactly. if you can just, Alex Golish talks about those standards, if you can get that locker room bought into you be the one that makes less mistakes, you'll be in every single ball game. And
exactly.
And I just think that this, I think this staff is preaching that, you know. Now, if it transitions into Saturday, we shall see, or Saturdays, we shall see. But right now, based on what we've seen practice wise, the way we've seen them handle, the staff has handled the team, I think that's going to make a huge difference this year.
There you go. You heard it here first.
That's a good topic.
Auburn 16-0. Let's go.
Now, Kyle said that. I didn't say 16-0.
Y'all have a good one. We'll talk again soon. War Eagle.
War damn Eagle.